Welcome back to the Lady Heather Show, where I talk about my life so you can forget about yours. Well, if the last podcast, if that audio wasn't bad enough for you, you're gonna love this. I'm in the car, I'm driving. Hold on, let me take the little chain off my phone so that doesn't rattle. The audio is gonna be shit again. You're gonna hear the background noise, but hopefully it's not too bad. I just felt like talking instead of listening to a podcast and listen to someone else talk or listening to music. I'm just not there yet. I'm in a really funky mood. So I had the best night, not last night, but the night before. I drove into Houston to do my podcast with Dr. Boutros, and that was amazing and fun. And then I stayed at the cutest little inn. I think it's called, now I can't remember. It's like Sarah's Inn, Sarah's Place Inn, Sarah's something. It's near Montrose, and it's an old Victorian house that they turned into like a bed and breakfast, and it was cute as hell. It was amazing. There used to be this place we stayed at in San Antonio we stayed there for our honeymoon, and we stayed there for every anniversary after that until the business closed down. But it was called the Painted Lady Inn, and this reminded me exactly of the Painted Lady Inn. And it's something like to be in the center of a cute part of Houston and to have so much charm like that was so unexpected and lovely. And the prices, I think I paid like $155, I think. It was definitely under $200. I want to say closer to $150. And, you know, in the Houston area, there's such a freaking wide range of hotel prices. Like, and this was just a luxury for me to do just for fun. So I didn't want to spend a tremendous amount of money. But I also didn't want to stay in a shithole, you know? So this was very reasonably priced, and it was just such a great experience. But I think I had such a good time because I was with myself. And I've been on Adderall now, I think, for 3 weeks, maybe 3+ weeks. And so I'm still like a brand new baby in this world. I'm experiencing things properly medicated for myself right now. And so things feel new. So this was the first like date night with myself that I've had. And the way that my anxiety has improved, let me tell you what old Heather would have done. Okay, I finished recording, I finished with Dr. Boutros like around 3 o'clock. So old Heather would feel like, okay, I'm in a different part of town. I'm not used to this. I don't feel comfortable just driving. Like I get so much anxiety being in places where I don't know where stuff is or how things work. So I probably wouldn't have picked this, inn. I probably would have picked a traditional hotel like a Marriott or a, you know, regular schmegular hotel that I knew how everything functioned. And I would have picked up fast food. And if my social anxiety wouldn't have already been maxed out, I would have stopped and got snacks and alcohol for later that night so that I wouldn't have to leave the hotel. And I hate even in the past, I hate even getting room service because I would hate, like, it feels like being inside your hotel room feels like such a personal thing. And when people bring the tray of food, like for food service or room service in, and they want to come in your room and set it down on the bed, shoot me, kill me. No. So when I do that, when I'm with Steve, every time I go in the bathroom and I shut the door. So I don't even have to make eye contact with the person who's dropping off the food. I don't know what it is, but it gives me so much anxiety and embarrassment. It feels like torture. But this new Heather, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to the hotel first and drop off my stuff, or the inn first, and I'm going to drop off my things after, you know, I was done with all of the podcast stuff. And I'm like, then I'll decide what I want to do. I had to pee. I was like 10 minutes away from there when I was at Boutros's office. So I'm like, I'm going to go there and then we'll figure it out. So I figured out the parking situation. It was all very easy. This all sounds so silly unless you deal with anxiety similar to mine, but the parking situation was easy. Even with my big fucking Megalodon, extra, extra, extra large, extra long Expedition Max, I was able to park well. And my room was called the Empress, which I feel like was a nod from the universe, like a beautiful gift of, like, it was kismet. It was meant to be. It was for me because I have the Empress tattoo. I have that, those words tattooed on my arm. It's spiritual. It means something. It's amazing. So, when I got in there, I could not, like, I wanted to shower so bad. So I decided, okay, where we live in the hill country, we can't get DoorDash. There's no delivery. We're lucky if the freaking, well, now all of our deliveries now, like Amazon and stuff like that, now people are getting it, but it's a new development and we're like 10 minutes away from Canyon Lake and maybe 12 to 15 minutes away from Wimberley proper. And so there's no food delivery option. So I'm like, I am going to treat myself and have food brought here. Now, I knew this meant I would have to go downstairs, like they were going to leave the food downstairs by the door and I would have to go get it. But I'm like, I was great with that. So I jumped in the shower. I took an edible. I jumped in the shower and I forgot my face wash, which sucked. So I had to use their body wash. Here are the only two notes, sidebar, that I would leave for the hotel, for this inn, for Sayers Inn. I would say that I never want to see a Dial hand soap bottle on a counter at a beautiful place that I am the patron of. I don't know. No. If you're going to give me Dial, you better hide it in a beautiful bottle, and don't hide it in a bottle that says Le Labo or something. I'm not stupid. If you insist that Dial hand soap or, you know, HEB brand, whatever is the way to go, I can respect a budget queen, but then you better put it in a beautiful crystal hand pump thing. Don't show me the Dial label. This goes hand in hand with wine. If you are a restaurant or if you are a service provider and you provide wine for your guests, or, you know, if you're a restaurant and, you know, let's say those little Sutter Home bottles of Chardonnay are what work best for your business. Listen, I'm not knocking it. What I'm telling you is my eyeballs better not fucking see that plastic bottle, because you will ruin the whole fucking vibe. There was this, I'm getting so sidetracked, but who cares? We're just on a road trip, right? That's what we are. You're on a road trip with me. Okay, this is fun when I think about it that way. Okay, there's this little restaurant in Canyon Lake called Lucky's that I love. It's like bar food, but the food is so good. So like when Steve and I don't have the kids, we like to take an edible and go have a couple of drinks there and get a lot of food and just stuff our faces. And they had the perfect Chardonnay. It was always ice cold, and the glass, the lip of the glass is very thin. And so for like kind of a sports bar, or like not, it's not sports bar, it's like Irish pub type feel place, it was beautiful wine, beautiful glass. It went like that, a Diet Coke, boneless buffalo wings, as many as they can fucking cook up for me, a double order of sweet potato fries and a double order of regular fries, and that's how we do it. Well, one time when I asked for a refill, they brought a little bottle of Sutter Home and opened it up and poured it into my used glass. Number one, give a bitch a fresh glass. I love a fresh glass every time. It is luxury. It is for the elite. And I don't mind asking for a fresh glass wherever I go. I don't want fresh, beautiful wine in the glass that has my chicken fingerprints all over it. Give me a new one. You know what I mean? But that just killed the whole vibe. Like, I loved that wine. And then when I saw it was Sutter Home, I'm like, fuck. The truth is I do like little bottles of Sutter Home Chardonnay or Pinot Grigio. I fucking love it. But I associate that with like being at an outdoor festival or outdoor like market days or something like that. And that wine just tastes like it's the perfect taste for an outdoor boozy fun day. Not when I'm sitting in a restaurant and I think that I'm getting like some, I know it's not expensive wine, but I didn't think it came out of a plastic bottle. It just ruins the whole fucking vibe. Don't use Dial hand soap containers. Don't. Just don't. Never. Buy a refill thing and buy a cute hand soap or lotion container and put it in there. Don't subject people to know that we're using daycare soap. It's rude. So I would tell Sarah Zen that. I would also let them know that their light bulbs are offensive. They look like they belong on an alien spaceship. They were fucking blue. So here's this beautiful Victorian furniture in this room, this antique everything, and these light bulbs are fucking blue. Outer space, daylight blue. That will dry up your vagina so fucking fast, I can't even tell you. I understand you want brightness in the room. Oh well, it's a small window that doesn't get a lot of light that was in the Empress suite. Oh well, it's dark and cozy. You need more light? Sorry. That's how I feel about it. I don't put a blue bulb in my face ever, especially not in a place that's supposed to be warm and cozy. Okay. Rant over. But I hope you're taking notes. These are important things in life, and these things, it has nothing to do with how much money you have. It's about presentation. It's about value. You can add so much value to things without upping your price. You just have to be creative and you have to fucking care. And this, we're going to go into this more a little bit later. Obviously, you see how passionate I am about, you know, this experience. So I shower. I had to use body wash. It's like they tried to be cute with the little body washes that they had. They were like that stress relief. They kind of look like they were from Bath & Body Works. I can't remember the brand, but it's not Bath & Body Works. But I used some minty fragranced soap on my face, which I hated, but I did what I had to do. Then I did all my skincare and I decided what I was going to eat. I was looking at DoorDash at all of my options and I was all over the road just starving. But I ended up going with sushi and I got two different rolls and spicy edamame and a half order of fried rice, no veggies, and crab puffs and a Diet Coke. And I think the Diet Coke was like $3 and something cents because I wanted to order two because I knew I was going to be a thirsty bitch and I didn't know how large these cups were. But then when I added two, I saw in the checkout it was $9. I'm like, well, fuck, no way. I'm not paying $9 for a Diet Coke, you know, for two Diet Cokes. So I'll just take one. These must be huge. Well, they were not huge. I spent like right under $100 with tip, for all this food. So it comes in and the driver, the Dasher, for some reason, all my Dasher stuff, when they send me messages, it comes in Spanish. Is that a problem on my end? Or did I just happen to get two drivers who spoke Spanish and messaged me in Spanish? Like, is something wrong with my settings? So I knew I would have to go downstairs and pick up the food, and I was great with that. I put my little pajamas on, my cute little Amazon pajama set, which I linked in my stories. It's gone now. If you remember it or have any questions, just DM me and I'll tell you which set it was. I need an Amazon storefront. Do any of you want to help me do that? Because I have no technical ability and no desire to have, I don't want to learn these things. Like, I feel like that's not my job in life. I'm not here to do that. So, but I would love to make it easier for everyone like when I find amazing things, I would love to just have one place with links for you to like have all the fucking good stuff, all the secrets, all the deals, all the amazing things that I find. I would love to have it in one place for you. I just don't know how to do that, and I don't feel like it's my job in life to learn how. So if anybody wants to help me do that, hi, please help me. Help me, I'm poor. Help me, I'm dumb. So I knew I was gonna have to go down there. I put on my little pajama set and I could hear people talking. Like there were other guests at the inn. And normally that would give me so much anxiety hearing people talk directly outside my room, because even though I know they did stuff to make the walls thicker, I was still in a room in a house, like a regular, although Victorian house. That did not give me stress. It almost was kind of comforting. Like I was in my room is how I felt, by myself in my room. And so I fucking laid a towel out on the bed like we were about to have the most romantic night ever. And the DoorDasher says she's here, and I thought she was just gonna leave the food, but she waited for me to come down there. So I walked down the old wooden stairs with no fucking shoes on, like I owned this bitch. I told the woman thank you, and I collected my food and my thimble-sized Diet Coke for $3 and $4, whatever the fuck I paid for that. So outrageous. And I went back up to the room, and my first thought is, where's the rest of my food? Because I felt like I ordered the whole menu. And it just, visually, it didn't feel like enough food. Now, I had not eaten a thing the entire day, except an Adderall and a Red Bull, which I'm not mad at. That is my favorite way to start the day. But I was starving. It was like 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I needed to eat. And I had taken an edible, and the edible had hit. So I was like, I'm fucking starving. So I felt like there wasn't enough food. And then when I started eating, I realized, okay, there's plenty of food. Heather, calm down. Little scarcity mindset there. And the sushi was disgusting. Now, I order bullshit white girl sushi, so I love a shaggy dog. Here are the things that I like in, this is not necessarily all together, but these are the things, these are the ingredients that I like that you can put together and make any kind of sushi roll for me, okay? I like spicy tuna. I like shrimp tempura. I like cream cheese. I like avocado. I like the different spicy sauces. I like the shredded, what is that, like fake crab meat or whatever that they put across the top of like Shaggy Dog. I like that. I only eat soy paper. I will eat, you know, seaweed, but I try to avoid it whenever I can. They're like, that's a dollar extra for soy paper. I'm like, I'm rich. You roll that bitch in soy paper. I don't need to be chewing on a soggy leaf. Thank you. So I ordered a combination, like everything worked. One of the rolls I got was like a beef something, and it came with a like beef and avocado on top. Disgusting. I couldn't tell if it was brown avocado or beef because it's like they alternated different pieces on top. It was disgusting. Disgusting. The fried rice was pretty good, kind of had a funky flavor to it. It was like chicken fried rice, no veggies. That was fine. The soy sauce did not hit. It was off. And it's not like it was low sodium. There was something, it was not salty enough, which is really fucked up to say, but it was not salty enough, and it was the wrong color. It was way too pale. The crab puffs were fine. They weren't warm enough, and so the chunkiness of the cream cheese and the blended crab kind of made me nauseous, but I ate it anyway. So I would take the crab puff and I would put soy sauce on it, and then a little bit of soy sauce on the fried rice. And I like to eat the rice and the, you know, chicken fried rice and then a bite of the crab puff together. To me, that's a great combination. But that's most of what I ate. The edamame smelled and tasted like soft canned green beans. No, thank you. So I did all that, and then I ended up taking another edible, because my first edible I had taken when I was in the car on the way to the hotel. or the inn, because I knew it would hit by the time I got there. So it had been a few hours, so I'm like, okay, I'm ready for more. So I took another edible, and then as I'm laying there, I was, you know, I essentially had Chinese food, so I was hungry or thinking about food or nervous I was going to be hungry like 10 minutes later. And so I'm like, I need dessert. For sure I need dessert. And like, do I want alcohol? And lately, alcohol just has not been hitting for me. The perfect amount of drinks is two drinks. A glass of wine and a spicy margarita. Two glasses of wine, two spicy margaritas, whatever. But two is it. Along with a CBD product of my choice. That I like. After two drinks, it just goes downhill. My tummy hurts, I get tired, and I feel like shit. And I start feeling hungover before I even like can catch a really good buzz. So anyway, I'm like, I don't need alcohol. Forget alcohol. So let's not order alcohol, but let's look at dessert. And I'm telling you, normally, again, I would have found a Whataburger or Chick-fil-A or whatever. I would have gotten comfort food and I would have gone to the hotel and tried to pretend I wasn't anxious and not leave my room and be ready for the next morning when I was going to go see other people and I could do fun things, but I was not by myself. Which is so strange because I absolutely love being by myself, but I love being by myself in my own environment, or this is how I felt. Now I've realized I can be by myself where it's not familiar and I can have the best time ever. I was making Instagram stories like it was my fucking job. I thought I was the funniest person I'd ever been. I do think I'm very funny and I do think my Instagram stories are a work of art, and I do it for no one and for everyone collectively. I do it for myself. So I was just having the best time, like being fucking clever and funny. And I was watching Love Island UK, I think. And I decided, all right, let's do it. We're going to order dessert. So I was looking at ice cream and cookie places. Like there's a smush cookie, I think that's what it's called. I've never had it, but it's like, you know, cookie ice cream sandwiches, and you get to pick your cookies and pick your flavored ice cream. And that almost got me. But then I thought about the tummy aches that were going to be coming, because my stomach already hurt a little bit from the shit sushi I ate. So I decided to go with Smoothie King because I love a smoothie. So from Smoothie King, I ordered a angel food thin, no, what the fuck is it called? Angel food something. The light angel food one, the skinny angel food one. Angel food skinny, I can't think of the name. But I added vanilla protein powder and I added vanilla froyo, non-fat frozen yogurt, I guess. I'm not 100% sure. Yes! I just got a message saying that my doctor called in a new mood stabilizer for me. So we know I'm officially an Adderall girly, but along with that, I had started to build up in my system a mood stabilizer. Remember, I can't remember that it starts with an L, but if you're mentally unwell too, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, that one has, apparently it's a very low risk for people, but there's a side effect of a rash. And as I upped my dose from one pill to two pills on week two, the rash came. So I'm like, fuck, I told her it was going to happen. I'm a rashy girl and I'm a strange rashy girl. If there's a strange rash, I will get it. I got a rash from, never mind. I was going to say COVID shot, but fuck, I don't want to talk about that. Cause I wouldn't have gotten the COVID shot looking back on it. I did it because I felt socially pressured to do it as a leader of a company. I felt like I needed to do it. And now, in hindsight, I wish I would have just done whatever felt right to me instead of doing what I felt like I had to do for everybody else. Because what could be a more personal choice than sticking a fucking needle in your arm? That sounds pretty personal for me, okay? Why are we talking about this? Huh? We're talking about Smoothie King. I don't know how we got to this, but we're going to go back to Smoothie King. Oh, my doctor messaged me. Anyway, so I was supposed to, I gave it some time to get all of that old mood stabilizer out of my system. But in that time, I swear to God, I feel a difference. And so she just called in my new prescription, and I'm so happy. I've been waiting, and I'm so excited to pick it up. I will pick it up as I'm pulling into Wimberley today. Praise the Lord. I'm sure Stephen will be excited too. Anyway, so I decided to go with Smoothie King. That was my order, and it got delivered, and it was just, I walked downstairs barefoot again. There were some people, there was a couple there who had just poured a glass of red wine in the kitchen. I guess, I didn't realize they had red wine in the kitchen, which I'm glad I didn't, because when I was really high, I probably would have gone downstairs and poured myself a glass. And then I also saw they had Cheez-Its and some other snacks. It could have been real bad if I would have found that, late night that night. So I had my smoothie and I had taken Benadryl. Oh, I also had started, I bought these, Delta 9 Indica, dum-dums, like lollipops. It's a smaller one. It's a kind, the brand is BZB, B-E-E, the letter Z, and then B-E-E. And I used to, there were some caramels that I used to love from there, but my tolerance has gone up quite a bit, so I don't know how much the caramels would actually do for me these days. But I love the idea, because if I don't feel like drinking, and I don't want to be tempted to drink just because I'm sitting and having drinks with people, I want to do something. So what if I had a CBD lollipop, and I could just drink my Diet Coke or order a club soda and have the best time ever. So I had gotten some CBD lollipops from my regular CBD place in Wimberley, and I've only had one so far. It tasted fine, but I loved the feeling of it. It was perfect. But I wanted to try some other brands. So we tried the BZB, and I don't know, I started eating it right after my Chinese food / sushi. And I swear, like, I kept having to clear my throat. And something is wrong with me. I don't know if it's a food allergy or if it is, I don't know what it is, but after I eat certain things, like, I swear if I eat gluten or if I eat anything I don't know what the ingredients are that make me do this, but I have to clear my throat like 4,000 times after I eat. Now, if I eat a salad or if I just eat meat or if I just eat like other things, this doesn't happen. But otherwise, it's like I just have to keep clearing my throat. There's like stuff in my throat that I have to keep clearing. Why the fuck am I telling? Oh, okay. So anyways, I'm having to clear my throat. Well, all that Chinese food was full of MSG and all kinds of shit. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm clearing my throat so much now because of that. But then I'm like, wait, am I having trouble breathing? And I felt like my lungs felt a little bit too close together, a little too close to each other for my liking. And so I panicked, and I took Benadryl, and I put the lollipop down. It was grape flavored, which is disgusting anyway. Don't recommend, but that's what the indica, that's the flavor that the indica lollipop came in. So I ended up putting that down, taking Benadryl, and then I drank my smoothie. And then a couple of hours later, I took more Benadryl and I drifted off to sleep. I told Steve, I didn't even want to talk to him that night. Like, we had been texting and he was really, really slammed with work stuff and kid stuff, because remember, this is like midweek that I'm doing all this. This is Wednesday. And so he's just slammed. He's like, I'll call you once I get the kids into bed and everything. I'm like, actually, I love you, but please don't. I can't talk anymore. I had talked on the phone the whole way to Houston, which is I talked a good solid 2.5 hours on the way into Houston. And then I talked to Dr. Boutros and or his team for another 3 to 4 hours. I had nothing left to give with my voice. So I went to bed. I woke up at 7:30 the next morning, and I went downstairs, and they had again, barefoot in my pajamas and my little sweater. And I found they had a big, beautiful coffee maker with tons of options. It's 11:11, make a wish. And so I made myself a cup of coffee and then I started getting ready. And I was meeting my ex-best friend from many, many, many moons ago, April. And depending on how long you've been listening to the podcast, you know that April was my arch nemesis for a while, but not really. It was just somebody who was such a deep, deep, deep part of my life. And we were toxic for each other. Like, we loved each other so much, but we were so immature. And over the years, like, it's like how I can imagine a sister relationship would be, you know, like where you went through a few tough years. And so we hadn't talked for a while. And then she listened to a podcast where I mentioned, no, she didn't listen to a podcast. One of you fuckers. It's like, oh, Heather's talking shit about you. Heather said she hates you. And Heather said she knows you hate her too. But thank God, whoever you are said something to her, because she ended up reaching out to me. She's like, hey, I just have to say, like, I don't hate you. And then I text her back. I'm like, I don't hate you either. I assumed you just hated me. And I just like to joke about uncomfortable things. It's my favorite brand of comedy. And so from then we just kind of started talking. And now, you know, we were best friends when I was pregnant with Tori, like way before that. I met her when she was 18 or 19. Yeah, she was a kid. She was a fucking kid. And she, you know, I've lived a pretty straight life, a pretty straight-laced life. I've never done cocaine. I've only, you know, experimented with weed or any weed product as a 30-something-year-old woman. I've only ever been with Steve my whole fucking life. And I busted my ass from the very beginning when I started working at 18 years old at Visible Changes. Like, I had heads down, big dreams. Steve and I were going to take over the world. But when I met April and some other friends there, Kim, and like, they were young and they were not committed the way that I was committed to things and people in life. And so they showed me a good fucking time. Like, I would have never gone to any clubs, especially not underage, but I never would have gone out if it wouldn't have been for April and Kim. But April, like, took me out of my shell and I still stayed within my comfort zone. But I was telling her, like, if you wouldn't have come into my life and at least let me, like experience going out with my girlfriends, being young, being fun, not doing anything naughty, you know, or disrespectful to my husband, but just going out and having a fucking good time. I didn't go to college, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, if April wouldn't have been in my life and if I wouldn't have had those experiences, I probably would have been divorced 3 times and, you know, making money off the pole. Or hopefully if I was tech savvy enough, I would be doing it from the comfort of my own home with my very successful OnlyFans page. But actually, I don't even think that's bad. So let me just say I'd be on a pole and I don't even think that's bad. I just think I would have gone wild, you know, eventually. I think it would have been in me if I wouldn't have like released a little bit of the pressure. I probably would have gone wild. And now I think it's funny. She was just more free then. And she taught me how to be free in ways that I didn't know how to yet. I wasn't comfortable with it. And now I think it's funny because I'm more of a free person and she's more structured. And so I think it's so funny. The dynamic is funny and amazing. And she's the same funny, like, we just have the best fucking time together. So anyway, so we met up for coffee at this place called Fix Coffee in, I guess it's in Montrose Heights. I don't fucking know. Okay. Here's the truth. Okay. I grew up in Sugarland and I don't understand Houston. I don't know where these little pockets are. I don't like driving through Houston. I like suburban areas with stores with big parking lots so I can park my big bus and not have to stress out. So I don't know exactly what part of town, but it's called Fix Coffee. And I had a lavender honey iced latte with almond milk, and it fucking slapped. Okay. And the guy there working behind the counter, he had a gorgeous English accent. And I was asking about the honey lavender. And of course, I'm not even going to pretend to have his accent, but he was telling me that it was his grandmother's recipe, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, fucking sold, man. It's not overly sweet and it's your grandma's recipe with lavender. I'm in. It was so good. The guy was so sweet. We bought a box of day-old pastries. It's like a surprise box. It's like $3. And there were five pastries. I wasn't hungry. I didn't eat any, so I cannot vote on those. But that coffee shop was so cute, and there was so much passion. Like, so many businesses fucking lack passion. And I don't blame, I can't blame people, because as a business owner and an artist, the world can fucking beat you down to where you're just trying to make ends meet. And how can you be creative or passionate when you can't make ends meet? Like, I get it. But going into a business like that in Houston, it's just a breath of fresh, because I feel like in Wimberley, everything is nice. In those areas, like, everything is still personal. Like, people care. And in Sugar Land, you know, yesterday, which I'll tell you about in a second, no one fucking cares. So we had coffee, and then she's like, hey, do you want to come by the salon? Because she has a salon suite, and there are two other people that are in the same building that I worked at Visible Changes with, Julian and Kim, and I hadn't seen them in years. So I stopped by, and I ended up spending hours there. I folded their laundry and capes. I cut foils. I organized their little break room. Like, I was just so happy to be in the environment. And there are things, like, when April and I worked together, we, such a long story, but we worry about different things naturally. And I was always the one to make the room look clean and cozy and beautiful. And she was focused when we worked together on inventory and, like, smart things. And I was focused about the experience for myself and for her and for our guests. And so, like, being in the break room and stuff like that and helping fold laundry, like, it's just, I love doing it. If I'm at home, no. But if I'm anywhere else, I love taking care of people. Acts of service, I have discovered, is my love language. And it's how I naturally show love. And I think I really like acts of service. That's how I feel most loved too. I just am realizing this about myself. I always thought it was like gifts or words of affirmation, but those are only secondary to if somebody is willing to give me their time and their energy to do something for me to make my life better or easier. That is, like, the most loving thing you could do for me, and vice versa. And in that, sometimes it's very difficult for me to accept acts of service by other people because I feel like I'm putting them out. But I shouldn't stop other people from showing love. Like, if they told me to stop doing laundry and stuff like that, but I'm like, no, I want to. And of course I was going to keep doing it. I just wanted to. But you shouldn't stop people from showing love because you're too insecure to receive it, right? Like, make it not about you. Allow them to do it for themselves and then really enjoy it. So anyway, we ordered in lunch. We had Fadi's, and I'm on a real hummus kick right now. So I got jalapeno hummus and some chicken kebabs and pita bread. And I just wrapped the little chicken. I tore off a piece of chicken, tore off a piece of pita bread, and I made a little pinch thing. And then I dip it in hummus. That was it. Had a beautiful Diet Coke, and then decided, okay, it's time to go. I got to move on. I needed to go to the Le Labo store to get some refills on our perfumes or colognes or scents or fragrances, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Fragrance, I guess, because perfume sounds, that's not Le Labo. Cologne, that's not Le Labo. Le Labo's in its own fucking category. So I wear Santal 33. Steve wears, oh, to back something. And then we got a third scent that is the City Scents from Tokyo, but there was too much still left in the bottle for them to do a refill. Like, they didn't, it wasn't time yet, so I did not refill that. But then when they were refilling the other two, I smelled this other scent. Of course, now I can't remember it, but it smells like leather and smoke, but leather is definitely the most upfront scent that you get. And layering that with the Matcha 26 lotion that I have, I sprayed the matcha and then I sprayed this other scent that I can't remember, and I put them together. I'm like, that smells so fucking fresh and good and rich and cool. And so plus I thought it would layer well with any other Santal things or any of the other fragrances that I wear. I like mixing and matching and like customizing my scent because I don't want to smell like anybody else. I want to be so distinct that you just can't, when you think of me, you think of the way that I smell too. That's how distinct I want my scent, my experience to be. The way that I smell is part of how I want people to experience me. I want people to experience my energy, my touch, because I'm a very touchy person when I'm talking to people. I want them to smell me. I want them to see me. You know, I want to leave an impact. Like, I want people to feel something. I want people to feel something. That, like I said in the last episode, that is my goal in life. And that comes, you know, my scent is part of it. So I take that very seriously. So anyway, got that. Steve and I will both share it and love it. And if you've never been to Le Labo, they have certain scents all year round. And then they also have, once a year, they have a collection of city scents from different parts of the world. And you can only buy those scents during this month or 2 months where the city scents are available, and then they're gone. If you have a city scent, like we have the Tokyo one, I can take it to any location and they can refill it. But for somebody who doesn't have one for a refill, you have to wait until the time comes back around for a refill for the city scents to come, or for to buy it from, you know, that period of time. It's just, it was so expensive. It's so fucking expensive. But it's such a cool, it's just the best. It is a luxury. And this perfume, or these scents last, you know, one Steve's bottle. Oh, I wonder, I didn't think about the label looking at how long, but he has a 100 ml bottle and that lasts, I mean, my 50 ml bottle, although I do mix it with other things, like I layer it, so it's not like it's the only fragrance that I'm wearing, but mine lasted over a year and a couple of months. So yes, it's expensive, but it lasts for a long time. So I went to Le Labo, did all that, and then I went to Sugarland to meet with a friend and have happy hour. And we were gonna start at Perry's, but they didn't open until 4. So, Heather. So we ended up going to State Fair. This is in Sugarland Town Square. Very niche conversation, but for those of you who are from, you know, the area, you'll appreciate this conversation. So when this restaurant, State Fair, first opened, it was so good. It was so good. The food was phenomenal. The drinks were phenomenal. The service, the managers, everything, like, they remembered me, they knew me, and that's not required, okay? That is not a requirement. It is very lovely, and I love it. I love going places where I've left an impression, and they appreciate me. They're happy to see me because I love on them and I tip them very well and they treat me really well. So that's how it was before. The food was amazing. The service was amazing. The atmosphere was amazing. Everything was great. It was clean. Everything wonderful. Then I know that they sold. I think this restaurant group came in, staffed it, set it up, and it was fucking fire. And then when they sold, whoever the fuck they sold to, they don't know what they're doing. The floors are sticky. The air is damp. The way that the wait staff, I guess, is trained. I don't know why. Listen, I've never worked in the service industry other than doing hair. But I think it's pretty common sense that there's an urgency when someone sits down to take care of them. Fucking duh. And if you are in the weeds or if you're busy, just communicate so they know what to expect. This place has just gone to shit. I had their margarita. What is it? The State Fair margarita. It's like a spicy margarita, and I got sugar on the rim because I'm a real bad girl. And it is phenomenal. It's like serrano peppers, and it's like a serrano spicy margarita. And they have that little crunchy ice. That was great. Everything else was subpar. It just makes me so sad. So the service has notoriously been slow since this sale happened. And it wasn't like this was a public announcement. I can fucking tell when a business sells because I'm not blind or dumb. And the staff changed and the app, everything changed. It's just sad. It's really, really sad. And I feel bad for the people who work there. Like if you work at a restaurant as a server and suddenly the food and the management go to shit, you're fucked because it's not your fault, but yet you're not getting customers coming in because it's bad service or bad, nobody wants it. So let's see. We had our drinks there. We closed out. We're like, okay, let's go to Perry's. So we walk. Oh, hold on. Let me go back and say this. When none of the servers are running around or have any sense of urgency, that's annoying, but okay. But then you couple that with a frantic fucking floor manager walking around with an iPad that's in what looks like my 4-year-old's iPad case, a big, big padded case. It looks like the steering wheel of a fucking go-kart or a bumper car. When you have this man frantically running around everywhere with this stupid little iPad in a restaurant that's 1/4 full, it's awful. You're giving awful energy. Stop walking. A good floor manager is truly supporting their fucking staff, making sure their staff has everything that they need, making sure that food is running on time, and making sure that the guests are happy. And not just walking by and looking over as you walk by and say, everything good? Okay, great. No, you are there to support your staff and to make sure that the customers are happy. If they need a drink, you should be bringing them a drink and then asking them, you know, if they need a refill on water, the manager should show up to the table with the pitcher and pour the water and then ask the patrons how they're doing, if they need anything. Like, that is how a floor manager should work, not holding a fucking iPad and running around 100 miles an hour, ruining everyone's fucking vibe. But again, I've never worked in the industry. I'm just a savvy consumer, I think. So we walk to Perry's and sit at the bar. We get a little table at the bar, a little like high top. And the lights in the bar are too fucking bright. The shade of the bulb is correct, but the brightness of the lights was fucked. How dare you keep it that bright in there for no reason? Maybe old people, you know, need to see a menu more, but they can turn their phone on or have those glasses that have the lights in, you know, on the edges. You don't need to ruin the entire vibe of the place. Perry's back in the day used to have these beautiful crystal like water vases that they would put on your table. So they would fill your glasses up and then they would leave this beautiful crystal water thing with ice cold water for you to pour for yourself. No, now they have these fucking tubes of water with a big cork shoved in the top, and it looks like it was bought in bulk from at home. I would say in this shipment, the first shipment, 60% came broken. So they definitely had to reorder and talk to management, but they got it all in. So now every fucking table has a corked tube with water. No fucking vibe. Their wine glasses, what have you done? What have you done? The stems, they look like little corgi legs, like a little person, okay? Big upper body, little leg, one little leg. It was, the proportions were all wrong. The glass was too thick, way too thick, too sturdy for my liking. And there was a big P logo on it that wasn't like etched in. It looked like a fucking sticker, like a bad sticker. It's just bad. They ordered some food. We've had a couple of dinners there, like hosted dinners there for some business things. And the past couple of times we've been, we love the wait staff, but the food has gone to absolute shit. The presentation, absolute fucking shit, which is not the server's fault and it's not the chef's fault. They can only work with what they've got, but it's shit. But for a happy hour, you know, in Sugar Land, I was staying at the hotel right there in Town Square. So I'm like, this works out, you know, whatever. So, I order a smoky Rita, which is like their spicy margarita. Now it comes, up in a glass, in a, like, it's not a martini glass. It's like a cutesy, whatever little glass, but it's just straight up, no ice. And I love ice in a drink. So I, and I hate those sissy fucking, glasses where you can spill your cocktail really easily just by picking it up. So I like either a lowball glass, a crystal lowball with ice, or I like a red wine glass with ice and a straw. So we went with a red wine glass and ice and a straw, but I still like the rim. It's like a sugared habanero rim, or it was. Now it's like a sugared tahini rim. It's fucking wrong. It's fucking wrong. They probably saved 0.00003 cents per, you know, dip into the sugar, but it's a fucking letdown, okay? So then we're hanging out, and one of my favorite servers, this cute kid named Ethan, he's been there for years. He's taken care of us so many times we've been there, so many of our big, the dinners that we host, he's taking care of it. He is a cutie patootie. He has great service. He's amazing. I can't imagine the bullshit he hears at Perry's in Sugar Land with these fucking businessmen, whatever. But he's great at his job. He comes by and he's like, hey, we're having a contest. Well, of course, he asked if I needed anything and, you know, said hello. And then he asked if I would do him a favor. I said, I will do anything for you, Ethan. He said, well, we're having a contest on who can get the most likes on, or not likes, ratings, reviews on Yelp and Google, I guess, or something. And I'm like, of course I will. I said, but you know they're fucking using you. The food has gone downhill. The drinks have gone downhill. The glassware has gone downhill. The presentation has gone downhill. Your lights are too fucking bright. And instead of fixing those problems and actually serving people well, they're taking the amazing wait staff that they are still lucky enough to have and are using them to get 5-star reviews on Yelp. Do you think your regulars are fucking idiots? Do you think your regulars are like, oh, well now, you know, now it's not 3 stars anymore or 2.5 stars. Now it's gone up to 5 stars or 4 stars. Paris must be doing better. Fucking no. The bread is wrong. The lighting is bright. The counters are wet in the bathroom. It's fucking wrong. Okay? But yet they're using, because I would do anything for Ethan. And then Michelle was the person who was taking care of us that evening. So I'm going to leave a review for her too. I didn't have good Wi-Fi there, but I'm like, of course I'm going to leave a good review. But do you know what they were working towards? Michelle said she was trying to get a fucking dessert. A dessert. whoever got the most, or if you get so many, you get a fucking free dessert. Stab me. Kill me. How fucking dare you pimp out your fucking staff and give them a dessert? How fucking dare you? Okay? But then Ethan, I asked him about it. I'm like, you're doing all this for a piece of fucking cheesecake? And he's like, well, no, actually, what we're really going for is the people who have the most reviews then get first dibs to serve during private parties. That's right. You heard me. They are fighting to, they are being pimped out to get good reviews so that they can compete to work on these private parties to make more money. Like, this whole thing is so fucked up and stupid. And Ethan's like, the thing is, like, if there are these private parties, these regular parties that we have, usually they request me anyway, so I'm in there. So he's like, now I'm just working so hard to keep those private parties. I'm like, wow. And, you know, they're like, well, we're just here because we love our regulars. Like, these regulars have become like family. I'm like, well, yeah, but the thing is, the regulars are going to stop coming because the food is awful. The presentation is not great. And so you're staying for them, but because of what your company, the way that they've structured things now, now your customers aren't going to be coming in. It's just awful and sad. And there are so many little things that could be done that don't cost a lot of money to make the experience better for the guest, which then makes sure that your staff is going to be fucking tipped well and taken care of. Like, duh. Listening and watching companies go downhill because finances get hard. Listen, we've been in really, really rough situations in our businesses, but if we, you know, worry about ourselves and try to cut expenses by cutting the experience, then I'm killing everyone. I'm killing everyone and everything. Then there is no fighting chance whatsoever. It's like going into a failing gym and it's fucking filthy. It costs $1 from a dollar store to buy an all-purpose cleaner and make the person that is hating their life sitting down fucking clean and at least make the experience great. Like, there are things you can do to make it great. So that night, so Perry's was just sad, and it's sad to see this amazing staff get fucking pimped out for nothing, right? So then I was staying that night at the Marriott Hotel in Town Center. Now, this is where I had my my honeymoon night? No, what do you call it? Wedding night. We stayed there, although 22 years ago, I understand, that's where we spent our wedding night. And that was a nice hotel at the time. That felt like a nice hotel. Now, it's disgusting. It's dirty. It's fucking dirty. We got there and I decided to valet my car to make it easy. Probably shouldn't have done that because it cost $30 fucking. $30. But I decided to leave it there. Then I went and checked in, and the girl at the front desk was so sweet. She asked me if I wanted a late checkout. She gave me, put credit on my account for a free breakfast in the morning. Just a lovely fucking angel. So then we walked to the elevators. I walked to the elevators and pushed the elevator door open, and the elevator is filthy. It looks like, swear to God, I swear I am not being dramatic, it looks like the scene of a horror film. Swear to God. It was so dirty, so smudged. These buttons were like fucking rusting. When you look down, the floor was filthy. And you know, like, when the elevator doors open and close, you can see like the metal grate kind of where the doors are. Fucking filthy with crumbs and dirt and fuzz. And then we go up to the fourth floor where my room is, and the carpet, as soon as you open the elevator, fucking filthy, not vacuumed, not stained, but just dirty, not vacuumed. And then walk into the hotel room in my room, and I will say that it smelled like fresh sheets. The beds and the pillows were awesome. The mattress is great. The pillows were great. The amount of pillows, the blankets, everything. The bed felt very fresh, but the room itself, fucking dirty. The desk and table had smudges and fingerprints and fucking arm grease stains and everything all over it. Like, come on. These things are so easy. This is the fucking Marriott. Listen, I know it's not a brand new hotel, but if you have something that's old, but it's really clean, there you go. It doesn't matter, because the experience can still be amazing. It just blows my mind. So anyway, Steve and I ended up getting into a huge fucking fight last night. Huge. Technically over nothing, over him being stressed out, and I felt like he was taking it out on me. And then instead of just dealing with one problem, we both lost our fucking minds and fought. I felt like I was gonna have a fucking panic attack, and I was so frustrated. My friend was spending the night with me, and I just kept telling her I'm sorry, and she kept wanting to talk about, you know, Selling Sunset or whatever we were watching on TV. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm about to throw myself out this window and have a panic attack. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm going to put my headphones in so I can just concentrate on rage texting my husband. And so it was awful. We went to bed very angry with each other. My stomach fucking hurt from the shit food I had eaten. And, I went to bed not feeling great. And then this morning, my friend had to wake up and leave extra early. And I was so mad at Steve, I didn't even want to come home until late today. But I woke up like around 8 and couldn't go back to bed. And I'm like, well, maybe I could nap again, because I was tired, like emotionally drained, physically drained. But I just decided to head out and get home earlier. And so I'll be home before 1 o'clock, which is really nice. So I can still get my nap in, but it can be with my cat and my dog and maybe my other cat and my other dog and maybe my other cat. And I could just be in the comfort of my own home. Listen, fuckers, if I'm going to be in a dirty place, it better be my own fucking home. Okay. I'm not going to go pay you to stay in your dirty place. I have my own dirty place. Although my housekeeper did come yesterday, so I'm very excited to have a clean house to come home to. It's Mother's Day weekend. Steven and I did make up. Don't worry. Mom and Dad are not getting... We decided not to rehash everything from last night this morning, because there's no point, because we both realized we went down this stupid fucking black hole with many other layers and problems that aren't even necessarily really real, and it was just stupid. And so we are starting fresh today. Thank God. I hate holding a grudge. Once it's like watching movies or shows. Like, once I know the ending, like once I can wrap my head around it, we don't need to keep going. I get it. I'm good. God, I keep having to cut this because my phone keeps ringing and it's pissing me off. I forgot what I was talking about, what I was bitching about. Oh yeah, Steve and I fighting, we're not getting a divorce, everything's fine. But once I know the ending to something, I won't finish it. I don't need to. It's superfluous, as Lisa Vanderpump would say. It is useless. Why would I spend my time, like, if I get it, I get it. And if there is a twist, Steve will watch it and then he'll tell me the twist. I'll be like, ooh, that's cool. I wasn't expecting that. So... That's how I feel about, wait, why? Oh, our fight about anything. Like, okay, I get it. We don't need to rehash and go through everything, because I fucking get it. I don't hold on to grudges. We're good. Like, let's move on. So we are moving on. He just called me. The girls are spending the night with Steven's parents. and he forgot to pack overnight bags for them, so I need to do that. And then I'm gonna take a nap and enjoy my afternoon. I feel emotionally drained. I drank too much last night, I think. I went over my 2-drink limit. I mean, I wasn't crazy, but couple that with not sleeping well. By the way, the room was also very muggy and warm. It said it was 65 degrees. Fuck no, it was not. No, it wasn't. You're lying. And oh my God, yesterday, last night in the Hill Country, and I don't know wherever else, but there was a horrible storm that suddenly came in. There was like baseball size hail and insane winds, tornadoes. Steve lost his phone. He was outside and lost his phone yesterday. This was around the time that the fight started, and he told me that he slipped and fell because he was wearing his Yeezy slides. And I told him, nothing has made me happier than picturing you when I'm fucking mad at you, slipping and sliding in your Yeezy slides looking for your fucking cell phone. There was pleasure had when I heard that. But luckily our friends were okay, our houses were okay, but I know some businesses were affected. I'm not on the Facebook page for, well, I'm not on Facebook at all, because why would I be? But that's where Steve like gets his information on like town stuff. But it was pretty gnarly out of nowhere. And I know tomorrow is supposed to be a gorgeous day, at least for us where we are. It's going to be like mid 70s, maybe mid to upper 70s. And then Sunday is going to be a thunderstorm day, which is perfect for Mother's Day. Sunday, I just want to stay home and veg and be cozy. And the fact that it could be pouring rain is like just what the doctor ordered. I'm trying to think of anything else. I feel like I have assaulted you with the audio and then also my bad attitude, but I felt very passionate about these things and I wanted to tell you. I'm 55 minutes away from home, so thank you for talking to me and helping this time pass by so quickly. I love you so much. I've given you 3 podcasts in 1 week. Wow. Go me. We're killing it. Again, I apologize for the audio. Whenever I started this podcast, I'm like, ooh, maybe I'll use the microphone, and so you won't hear all the car noises. Well, for some reason, the microphone made it sound like I was underwater when I did a test thing, so maybe these microphones fucking suck. I will look into getting better microphones. I do want to make small improvements without stressing myself out so much on a hobby podcast, but I love you and I want your experience of me to be as happy and warm and wonderful. And if I sound like shit in your ear, then that's not doing that. So I'm going to keep looking into easy stuff that won't stress me out, but that will make things better for you. I love you with all of my heart. You're my best fucking friend, one of them. Being able to have this outlet to talk it's the best. It's the best. I've missed this, and I feel like I can put my thoughts together so well now that I'm on Adderall. And this is part of my whole new world. I'm enjoying this. So I love you so much. If you know you're feeling extra generous and you want to give me a little Mother's Day gift or any kindness, if you want to leave a review, a 5-star review, leave a couple of nice words wherever you're listening to this, I would be forever grateful. I know that I'm undeserving because I'm the shittiest, flakiest podcaster ever, but I do appreciate it. Thank you for listening to me. I love you from the bottom of my heart. If you're a mom, I hope you have the best fucking Mother's Day ever. And remember, it is your day. And you are allowed to be as selfish as you want to. You can be alone. You can be surrounded by people. You can do whatever the fuck you want. There are no wrong answers for you. So don't let any mother-in-law or mother or husband fucking ruin this for you. You get selfish and make it about yourself, because it is about you. Okay, for real. I love you. Talk soon. Bye.